Thank you so much, Rosemary and David. So we continue this morning listening into the conversation between Jesus and his disciples. And if you were here last week, we saw that the harvest is plentiful according to Jesus, right? Jesus, he is risen. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus has given us his Spirit to empower us. The time to make him known is now. And we have absolutely everything that we need in order to gather many into his kingdom. Right? Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Only in today's reading, we see what we already know to be true. That it is not easy peasy, is it? Right? Put your hand up if you know that living for Jesus, put your hand up if you know that being a fisher of people is hard. Well, this morning's passage, it is encouragement for people like me, people who find it hard. Let's pray as we look at it together. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this word that you've given us. We thank you for Jesus who is made known to us in it. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your care for each one of us. And Lord, as we hear these words, may you encourage each one of our hearts. And what I say now, Lord, generally, may you, by your Holy Spirit, apply it specifically to each heart, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, just a bit of context, the context of our reading. Jesus, he's commissioning his 12 disciples, sending them out to a plentiful harvest. And these 12 disciples, once they were hearing this word, they are about to see amazing things. So, if you've got a Bible near you, open up at Matthew chapter 10. So we're looking at verse 24. But if you skip back to verse 8, you'll see that they are going to see amazing things, right? They are about to see the sick healed, the dead raised, lives transformed by the message of Jesus. But you see, ultimately, Jesus is sending them out, verse 16. As sheep amidst the wolves. Right, this is hostile terrain that Jesus is sending them out to. I don't know if anybody here has ever seen the film Saving Private Ryan. About 20 years ago, anybody seen that film? Great film, isn't it? Multiple Oscar winner. Set in the Second World War, right? And there's this amazing opening scene in Saving Private Ryan. It's probably one of the greatest scenes in all of film history. The D-Day landings, right? You've got thousands of soldiers who are being delivered. Do you remember the scene, right? They're being delivered by boats onto the Bay of Normandy. And it's literally 25 minutes of bullets and shrapnel, even limbs flying around, right? Bombs going off everywhere. Hostile terrain. And Jesus knows that he is sending his disciples out to hostile terrain. And he knows that because he knows all things. But also because Jesus knows that within a few short months, he himself is going to be crucified. Verse 24. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. Right, Jesus is laying out obvious truths here. If the head of the house, that is Jesus, has been called Beelzebul, that's another name for Satan, how much more the members of his household? Look, says Jesus, he said to them, he says it to us, if they crucified me, right, the one who is truth, the one who is love, the one who is compassion and mercy and goodness, don't expect, my friends, for the red carpet to be rolled out for you all the time. And so as we here at Denton aim to be this kind of outpost for heaven, that is so crucial, isn't it? It is so crucial that we are realistic about the job that is ahead, at least if we're doing Jesus' job, the one that he calls us to. Because if we represent Jesus as a church, as individuals, then society's response to us will be society's response to Jesus. Well, won't it? I mean, it's obvious. Jesus is laying out here a basic fact. Now, I've got a bit of a confession now. Some of you will know that it took a really, really long time to get broadband set up in the rectory. Right? I had lots of broken promises from my broadband provider. They kept telling me I was connected when I wasn't. And then rather than not charge me for the time that I wasn't connected, they sent me a bill. Do you know what? They charged me double. Would you believe it? Right? I'm not going to name the internet provider, because that would be mean. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I didn't feel very warm feelings towards that company. But the issue is, and I do feel a bit contrite about this even now, is that every time one of their agents called me on the phone, I would vent my frustration at that poor person who had nothing to do with the problem. Be honest, you've done that as well, haven't you? Yeah, we've all done it, because these are nods in the congregation. Because that person, for good or ill, they represent the company on whose behalf they're calling, don't they? And if we truly represent Jesus, people will react to us in the way that they react to him. Many people will receive us, right? They will receive Jesus. More people than we think, because as we saw last week, the harvest is ripe. It is also true, my friends, that many people will reject Jesus. Many people will resist him. Now, let's be honest, right? Life in 21st century Denton isn't like landing in Normandy on D-Day, is it? You know, we talked about that last week. Denton is a nice place. It's a good place. It is not the way that it was for these 12 disciples who originally heard these words of Jesus. Did you know that of those 12 disciples who heard these words, all but two of them were martyred for their faith, right? Clubbed, crucified, stoned, beheaded, because of their faith in Jesus. Because it is really quite rare to find people in our society who actively hate Jesus, isn't it? Right? At least in our part of the country, it doesn't happen much. Most people who don't like Jesus are just, you know, they're a bit apathetic, right? They think of it as Jesus is just a bit of a harmless fantasy, right? Maybe Jesus is the cause of a bit of mockery, but nothing more than that. But friends, it is so important that we realise, sat here this morning in Denton, that in the context of Christian history as a whole, in the context of the world as a whole, we are the unusual ones in that respect. Because even today, even right now, all over the world, in North Korea, in China, in parts of Africa, all over the place, many millions of followers of Jesus do so at the risk of their lives. Right? Jesus is not welcome in many places. Do you know that there have been more martyrs in the last 100 years of the history of the church, more people who have given their lives because they have refused to give up their trust and their faith in Jesus than in all the other centuries put together. Did you know that? We happen to be living in a pretty peaceful place to follow Jesus. We can speak freely about him. That's something to be thankful for. But that has not been the norm. And Jesus is saying that we may well be treated like Beelzebub, right? The devil, right? We may well be considered some kind of evil pariah in society without whom the world might just be a better place. And so what should our response be if that were to be the case? We'll look down at it in verse 26. So, says Jesus, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. And you see, this is where you should stop. And you should say, hang on a second, Jesus. What do you mean? What are you talking about? It may be that people actively oppose me. People may look on me as an evil to be removed from society. What they did to you, Jesus, they could very well do to me. And so, don't be afraid. That is weird, isn't it? That doesn't really make much sense if you think about it. Except that is in the light of what Jesus goes on to say next. For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. Friends, there is a day coming, is what Jesus is saying here. We'll affirm it in a moment as we stand up and we affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. He, Jesus, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Everything will be laid bare on that day. And the fact of that day, my friends, that changes everything. The fact that that day is coming, it changes everything. Do you know, I spent a good amount of time talking to the Logans and said, all right, I hope you guys won't mind me saying that. Because there is sorrow around Peter's death, isn't there? There is sorrow there, but there is also the confident expectation that that day, which is coming, that day changes everything. Right? Because there is nothing in Peter that will not be put right when Jesus returns. Right? When Jesus returns to breathe life into him, to breathe indestructible life into him. And if you belong to Jesus here this morning, there is nothing that can be taken away from you by anyone that will not be restored a hundredfold and more when Jesus returns on that day. Friends, we don't talk enough about the return of Jesus. Do you know that in the New Testament, if you read it, something like 7 out of every 10 chapters in the New Testament that say something at least about the return of Jesus. 7 out of 10. That is a lot, isn't it? That is our anchor, right? That is what gets suffering believers through the day. Because there is nothing that a resurrection won't fix. So do not be afraid, is what Jesus says. But he goes on to say more, verse 28. But rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You know the expression, bigger fish to fry. You have bigger fish to fry than to worry about what mere human beings think about you. That's what Jesus is saying here. Look, when I stand on the throne on that day, is it really going to matter to me what the Joneses thought about me? The only opinion that truly matters, Jesus says, the only opinion that ultimately matters, in the very real sense of the word, is God's. What does God think of you? What is his assessment of me? Now, Jesus mentions the word hell here, doesn't he? And in fact, of all the voices in the Bible, the one who most speaks about hell is the Lord Jesus himself. Did you know that? And this is just a massive subject that I'm not going to open up this morning. So I would just say two very basic things about hell that everyone who listens to Jesus has to conclude. Firstly, that it is real. And secondly, that you don't want to go there. Right? That is the basic teaching of Jesus. But the reason that I'm not going to open it up here is because that is not the point that Jesus is actually driving at. Jesus is driving at a very different point. And that point is this. That God has power over everything, right? Over life and death, over the body and the soul, over everything. And that this one who has power over everything, who has power over you, your life, everything about you, this one, he is your Father. That is the point here. Right? It is not a threat to the believer, but a glorious encouragement that Jesus is giving us here. Verse 29, not a single sparrow falls to the ground outside of your Father's care. Right, think about that. Verse 30, the very hairs on your head are numbered. Right, all those hairs on your head, some of us have got less than others now, sadly. Not a single one can fall out without your Father's say-so. Think about that. That is what Jesus is saying. Think about that. That is to say, nothing can happen to you. Nothing can happen to you without the say-so of a Father who loves you. So if you remember one thing that Jesus has said in our passage this morning, remember that nothing can happen to you without the say-so of the one who gave his son for you to death because he loves you. And so do not be afraid, says Jesus. Right, we go through the normal highs and lows, don't we, emotionally in life. But when all is said and done, this is the almighty word of Jesus, there is nothing to fear for those who are hidden in Jesus. Not ultimately. Friends, what do we fear? What do we fear generally? But more specifically, what do we fear as we carry out the mission to make Jesus known in Denton, which is our mission, isn't it? What brings us anxiety? What brings you worry? What stops you from sharing the good news? Because it is true, isn't it? We're not going to get crucified upside down the way that Peter was. But living for Jesus in 21st century Denton can strain relationships, can't it? Put your hand up if, like me, you fear that sometimes. You feel that if I speak out for Jesus, it might strain a relationship. People might think that I'm a bit weird or foolish, especially if I don't have all the answers to their questions. We might experience discomfort in the workplace because things that other people are doing, we ourselves can't do because we're followers of Jesus. But there is a God who is your Father, says Jesus, and not a hair on your head can fall out without his say-so. So do not be afraid. We have everything we need for that mission that Jesus has given us. Do not be afraid. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reasons that we have to be confident. And they are immovable reasons. They are reasons that are more solid than a rock. Because they are Jesus' inevitable returning glory. And they are your love and your goodness as our Father. May we trust in you. May your goodness, your kindness, your power be the pillow upon which we rest our heads any time that we're anxious, any time that we're fearful. And may we go out, Lord, carrying out the mission that Jesus has given us with great boldness. For we pray that in his name. Amen.